This morning I want to invite us for the next few minutes to consider a hypothetical question, a question that some of us may have pondered before. And the question is this: if you were stranded all alone on a desert island and could have only one book with you, what would it be? As we consider this question, I'll start by sharing some of my story. There was a time in my life when I found a question like this to be a bit of a challenge. And I suspect that I'm not alone in this. It was difficult for me to settle on just one book. And the answer that I came up with depended on my state of mind and my psychological and emotional needs at the moment. Maybe a book of short stories or poetry or essays by a favorite author. Maybe an anthology, a collection of works by several authors, but still one book. On the other hand, the one-volume collected works of Shakespeare that my 12th grade English teacher convinced me to buy might be more entertaining. I could act out the plays, taking all of the parts myself. On a more practical level, what about a dictionary? Say the Oxford English Dictionary, compact edition, of course. Another option might be one of the books that have sat on my bookshelves waiting to be read, like the 700-page biography of Thomas Cranmer, the architect and mastermind of the first English prayer book and the source of today's collect. Oh, and I also considered the Bible. A collection of books, really, a mini library, all in one. But there were parts of the Bible that I found confusing, and parts that I found frustrating, and parts that I found just plain offensive. And I didn't like the way the Bible had been used over the years to hurt people and to put them down. A better choice, I thought, might be the Book of Common Prayer, which is rooted in the Bible, but is an easier read. Choosing the one book to be alone with on a desert island was a decision that I was glad I would never have to make. But if I did, I concluded that the best choice might just be a wilderness survival guide. Perhaps with a chapter on boat building. That was then, of course. That was back when I still thought I knew a lot more than I really did about a lot of things, including the ways of God and my place in God's world. I have since come to realize about my life what many of you perhaps have realized about yours, and it is that I have been on a long, sometimes winding, sometimes tortuous journey of discovery. A journey that has brought me time and time again to a sense that there is so much more going on in my life and in the world around me than I am consciously aware of, than I am capable of perceiving. A sense that God is at work in all of life in ways that I cannot begin to understand or imagine. And this realization is infinitely more comforting and more exciting to me than anything I have experienced before. Not to mention more liberating. Because it is a pretty heavy burden, don't you think, knowing so much or thinking you do? You feel as though you have to run things. You have to be in charge. You have to control things, events, people. You have to make things happen in a certain way. Someone once said that believing that if you don't do something, it won't happen is a form of idolatry. And I believe they were right. And so it is that I decided some time ago that if I were stranded on a desert island and could have only one book with me, it would be the Bible. Not an e-book, but a real book. A book with a real front and back and real pages in between, where you can underline passages and write in the margins when some new question or insight comes to mind. And my reason for choosing the Bible, I think, can be summed up this way. With the Bible to keep me company, I would not feel so alone. St. Augustine is said to have referred to the Scriptures as letters from home. And so I would hope they would be for me. A reminder that the story of God's people is also my story. Our story. No matter that the biblical writers were flawed human beings, time-bound and with a worldview that reflected the way people of their day made sense of the world around them. After all, aren't we flawed too? And time-bound in our own way? Yet they were people who, for all their limitations, experienced the living God active in their midst and discovered spiritual truths that they were inspired to communicate through the only language and imagery that was available to them. Who better than they to draw you and me into the ongoing dialogue between God and creation, and to open our eyes to God's presence in our own lives? Who better to show through their stories how to embrace the reality in which we live? And so the church teaches that whether we are sitting alone under a palm tree, surrounded by water on all sides, or here at St. Paul's on a Sunday morning, God still speaks to us today through the words of Scripture, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our colleague for today reminds us that trying to discern the living Word within these divinely inspired words demands and deserves our best efforts. It is not a matter of listening passively to the readings appointed for our liturgy each week. Reading the Bible takes some work. And the Bible itself admits that there are some things in the Scriptures that are hard to understand, and so we must grapple with them. But for the Scriptures to come alive for us, to really come alive, we must approach them with mind and heart and hands, with our whole being. And this is something very different from testing the validity of someone's calculation that an average reader spending only 12 minutes a day can read through the entire Bible in a year. Sort of like the history of the world in 2 hours. You miss out on some things. No, in Cranmer's words, we should seek to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Scriptures so that they may give us life. That is to say, we should take the time to engage with the Bible in many ways and on many levels. In corporate worship, in small groups, and in private devotions. Praying the Bible as well as studying it. Allowing it to nourish us and to transform us both inwardly in our hearts and outwardly in our actions into the people God has called us to be. always remembering that even the Bible cannot fully capture the essence of God, and that there is more to know about God than any of us has a right to know or can know. But if we do the hard work together with God in the power of the Spirit, the Bible will make our lives far richer and our relationship with God far deeper, and the mystery of life far more wonderful than we ever imagined. In today's gospel reading, Jesus warns his followers of fearmongers who will try to lead them astray with false messages. Jesus does not pretend that the future will be predictable or secure. On the contrary, he says the end is coming, and before it, chaos, wars, earthquakes, famines. But that doesn't mean things are over. Institutions and cultures may pass away, but that may only be the beginning of what God has planned. This reading reminds us that we do not know when our time will be up. If we did, we might be more intentional, more focused on making the most of what we have and making a difference in the world before we leave it or it leaves us. As it is, we go about our daily lives in the only time that is real to us, and that is the now. But the scriptures remind us that there is a bigger picture, and that we live in all of history as seen from God's perspective. And the gospel suggests that it is not a matter of either or. For Jesus seemed to talk about the kingdom of God in the present tense as well as the future tense, a kingdom that both is and is yet to be. And so he invites us to live as if, these days are the last days, while going on with our lives, because there is more to come. And this makes it possible. This makes it possible to live in the present with courage and hope in the midst of fear and uncertainty. For even though we don't understand how, God is still active, if not in and through, then despite of whatever happens in this world. We have it on good authority. The word within the words, Jesus himself, that God's dream for the world is still unfolding, and we are part of that dream. May it ever be so.